All right, folks, thank you very much for joining us for our press briefing with regard to what the state is doing to manage the spread of coronavirus here in Nebraska. And as always, we want to remind people to continue to practicing our social distancing, keeping that 6 feet away from you and other people when you go out in public. Wear a mask when you go to the store. Wash your hands often. If you see a crowded bar or restaurant, it's a great opportunity to turn around and go to another bar or restaurant. Remember, it's really going to be those enclosed spaces where you're next to somebody else that is going to help spread the virus. And those are great times to wear masks. So all of these things that we have done have been to slow the spread of coronavirus in our state and ultimately preserve our hospital capacity. And you know, this is just another key point is that, look, this is a virus. We cannot stop it. But we can slow it enough to preserve our hospital capacity. And we've done that very, very successfully here in Nebraska. We've always been able to provide that hospital bed, that ICU bed, or that ventilator to anybody who has needed it when they've needed it. And currently in the state of Nebraska right now, our hospital capacity is at 37%. Our ICU bed capacity is at 34%. And our ventilator capacity is at 83%. Another great way people can help fight the coronavirus is by taking advantage of testnebraska.com. This is a great way to get tested if you're going to go, say, see a relative or something like that, and you want to make sure you're not spreading the virus. Great opportunity to go to testnebraska.com, sign up, and then you can start looking to schedule yourself for a test. We've got no restrictions with regard to getting that test scheduled, other than just the availability, and we've got lots of availability, so please look at that, testnebraska.com. We have delivered over 240,000 tests through testnebraska.com, and over 357,000 people have signed up through testnebraska.com. So please consider testnebraska.com. One of the things that we have received questions on has been with regard to vaccinations. Now, the federal government has asked us to have our plan for distribution of vaccinations by November 1st. And so we are working on our plans for distributing vaccinations. And one of the questions we get is, will this be a mandate that we have to that somebody has to have a vaccination? And I hope that people have really observed how we've approached this whole pandemic to explain people what the rules were and how they can best slow the spread of the virus. But we did not do a shelter-in-place order. We did not do a mask mandate. We will not be doing a vaccine mandate either. Now, we certainly encourage people to get vaccines. Here in Nebraska, just overall, pre-pandemic, we were, I think, Wallet Hub rated as the number 9 state for people getting vaccines. So we want people to get those vaccinations. And we want to encourage that use as well for the coronavirus, but we're not going to be mandating that. All right, so we have a number of guests that are going to be with us here today. First of all, we're going to have our managed care organizations, or the managed care health plans that manage our Medicaid system, come and talk a little bit about how they've been impacted during the pandemic. Specifically, we're going to have Tim Myers, who's the plan president for WellCare Nebraska, which is a Anthem company, and he's also the president of the Nebraska Medicaid plans, right? You're the president of that organization. So Tim will be talking first. And then we're going to have Angie Ling, who is our incident commander for the Department of Health and Human Services. Some of you may remember her in a different role a little bit earlier when she was Major Ling with the Nebraska National Guard. And Angie, thank you very much for your service to our state and to our nation. We appreciate that. But she was also doing a lot of the testing, so this is a great fit for us to be able to have Angie in the Department of Health and Human Services. And so she's going to be talking about the Nebraska Accommodation Project, and we'll get to more of that in just a minute. And then Gina Ewing with the Elkhorn-Logan Valley Health District will be here, as well as Matt Bloomstead, our Commissioner of Education, talking about some of the additional flexibility we're giving schools with regard to how to quarantine or manage kids with masks. And how that relates to schools and so forth. So we'll be doing a little bit of that first. But before we get into that, we will go ahead and start with the with Tim Myers, who, as I mentioned, is the association or the plan president for WellCare, and also the president of the Nebraska Medicaid Health Plans. So with that, I'm going to turn over to you, Tim.
All right, thank you, Governor Ricketts. It's an honor to be here today. to reconfirm our commitment to delivering the leadership, resources, and supports that are needed to keep pace with Nebraska's emerging priorities and to evolve the health of communities. The ongoing healthcare crisis has definitely left many feeling unsettled, but it's inspiring to see that the Nebraska Association of Medicaid Health Plans, the Division of Medicaid and Long-Term Care, our healthcare provider partners, and our legislative leaders come together to make strategic decisions in fiscal allocation, as well as to implement innovative actions so that Nebraskans receive consistent and exceptional care. I'm particularly proud of the actions taken by the Nebraska Association of Medicaid Health Plans. That's the a collaborative that I represent, which has made a positive impact on more than 240,000 Nebraskans we serve. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the association has worked tirelessly to put our Medicaid health plan members first and to simplify health care for everyone. We work to streamline existing processes and encourage telehealth innovation so that our members have additional options for receiving care. We also have stepped up our educational and outreach efforts to ensure members have the tools they need to access their benefits. We offered more benefits, rewards, and resources, because during trying times, health should not be neglected. It remains a top priority. The association has also taken extraordinary strides over the past few months to be especially supportive of our healthcare provider partners. We continue to be in close daily contact so we understand the needs and offer supports that make it easier to serve our members during these unprecedented times. Whether the need is for financial supports, technology tools, or even relief from administrative burdens, we're listening and making resources available to help. And we just didn't keep our own members and provider partners in mind. We made sure our supports continued to extend to the entire communities. Community outreach and advocacy efforts went on, regardless of the many efforts that have been halted by the pandemic. To this day, we continue to contribute needed supplies throughout the communities. We're still supporting fundraisers, we still host baby showers, and we remain available as a resource to all who need us. This is all possible because we have been agile and innovative in pivoting to new, safe methods of connecting with our communities and stakeholders. Zoom, virtual outreach, and social distancing have become our new normal, but we're making it work. And we continue to meet the ongoing needs of our members, stakeholders, and communities. Our support for the governor's successful COVID-19 testing and tracking efforts will continue, as will our annual vaccination efforts for the upcoming flu season. We also look forward to welcoming Nebraskans who will become eligible to receive life-changing healthcare supports through our new Medicaid expansion program. Thanks to our legislative efforts and statewide support of this new program, we will have the opportunity to improve the health outcomes and potentially save thousands of lives across our state. It is a responsibility that the association takes very seriously, and we're confident that this program will redefine what is possible for our state's future health. In all, we continue to evolve to meet changing needs and challenging circumstances, but most importantly, our commitment to collaboration is stronger than ever. Thank you, Governor Ricketts, and your administration for your leadership during this time of crisis. Together, we continue to lift up those in need and build a better, stronger, and healthier future for all of Nebraska. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much, Tim. And we are also being joined not only by WellCare and Anthem Company, but also our other two providers that we have here in the state, Nebraska Total Care and United Healthcare. Their CEOs and CMOs are sitting here in the audience as well. So thank you very much for joining us. We very much appreciate all the work that you do pre-pandemic, now with the pandemic, to be able to take care of Nebraskans. And a couple points, just to build on what Tim said. He talked about flu vaccinations, so good idea to get your flu vaccination. Those doses, I understand, are being distributed right now, like places like Walgreens and so forth have them. And that talking to my chief medical officer, Dr. Antone, they do want a certain period of separation between getting the flu vaccine and getting the coronavirus vaccine when that's available. So get the flu vaccine early is a great choice to make right now. So that would be one thing. And then the other thing, as you mentioned, Medicaid expansion. Again, the enrollment period began August 1st. Coverage begins October 1st. So if you haven't enrolled and you're eligible, that would be a great opportunity for that too. So there you go. See, Tim, I just plugged you. All right. So next, we're going to talk a little about the Nebraska Accommodation Project. So this was a project that we put in place at the beginning of the pandemic as part of our six pillars for how we're supporting our hospital system. So again, just to cover those quickly, there's the testing to find out who is positive. And then of course, the goal is to make sure they stay home and isolate. Then you've got the contact tracing to find out who all they've been in contact with to get those people to quarantine. And then we talked about the personal protective equipment, which the state has been buying and distributing through our local public health departments to first responders and healthcare workers and long-term care workers and so forth. And then the fourth pillar was that place where people can go, that housing. And this is where the Nebraska Accommodation Project comes in. And just for, if you're wondering what the last two were, we had our plans that we put in place around things like long-term care facilities and, of course, our directed health measures. That completes out the six pillars we had to support our hospital capacity. But that number four there has to do with the housing and allowing people to find a place to go where they can be safe so that they aren't infecting somebody else or being infected by somebody else. So for example, we opened this up to our healthcare workers, our first responders. We did it for meat processing workers. We did it for the general public. And now Angie is gonna come up. Angie Ling is gonna come, who is our incident commander again, the Department of Health and Human Services, is gonna talk about the program we have for teachers and which worked in combination with Z Winfrey, did a lot of work on this as well. So we wanna give Z a shout out there for all her great work. She's been doing great work throughout this entire pandemic as well. Oh, don't be embarrassed. She's sitting here in the audience, so I wanted to give her a shout out. But Angie, can you come up and talk to us a little about the Nebraska Accommodation Project and how we will work with teachers?
Thank you, Governor Ricketts. Good afternoon. Today I'd like to introduce the newest branch of the Nebraska Accommodation Project, which originally started in April. The school staff branch of the Accommodation Project is a partnership between the Nebraska Department of Education and the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. The Nebraska Accommodation Project, which is also known as NAP, is designed to allow a person exposed to COVID-19 to quarantine themselves away from a high-risk individual in their household. They will help protect families and reduce the spread of COVID-19. To qualify for this program, you will need to be a resident of Nebraska, employed by any school in Nebraska, physically working on campus and directly with children every day. Additionally, a full-time member of your household must have a high-risk medical condition and you must have a documented exposure to COVID-19. In order to receive this benefit, you need to apply online at dhhs.ne.gov. Placement will be at a local hotel, usually within 40 minutes, and your stay is likely 14 days or until conditions may change. There will be no charge to the school staff for this service, and approved applicants are usually placed within 24 hours. Z Winfrey has done a great job getting this program up and running, and we are happy to offer this to our school staff. If you have any additional questions, you can always reference the website, dhhs.ne.gov, and look at the NAP section, and it'll give you a lot more details. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Angie. Appreciate it. And again, so similar in the vein, if you've got somebody at home who has one of those underlying healthcare conditions, you don't want to infect that person. If you've been exposed, we have the opportunity to be able to make sure that you've got a place to go so that we can reduce that risk of transmission. So thank you very much, Angie, and thank you, Z, for all your work in getting this set up. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring up our next topic, which is going to be around schools. So that was a good lead-in, right? Somebody's thinking and planning and putting this all together. Good job, Taylor. I don't know where you went, but you did a good job pulling this all together. All right, so next, we're going to bring up Gina Ewing, who is the health director at the Elkhorn-Logan Valley Public Health District. And she's going to talk a little bit about the new DHM or some of the adjustments we made to the DHM with regard to school kids and quarantining and self-monitoring and that sort of thing. So with that, Gina, I'm going to ask you to come up and give us a few words about that.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor, for the opportunity to come before Nebraskans to provide some updates on behalf of the Nebraska Association of Local Health Directors and Nebraska's local public health departments. We all know that schools play a vitally important role in every child's life by providing education, socialization, as well as critical support and safety net services for students and families. Over the summer, Nebraska's public health department spent countless hours with school officials and the Nebraska Department of Education in preparation for school reopening this fall. These planning discussions always centered around two major goals: to resume education for the children of Nebraska and to keep students and staff reasonably safe from COVID-19 exposure and spread. Our knowledge about COVID-19 spread, mitigation, and prevention is constantly changing. We are watching things locally. Since the school year began, we have continually updated our public health interventions with the goal of protecting our students and communities. Since school started 1 month ago, local health departments have seen a variety of COVID-19 cases among both students and staff. Each case has unique details and has been handled on a case-by-case basis across Nebraska. The governor's updated state-directed health measure, Phase 4, provides additional clarity in how local health departments across Nebraska will be assessing risk and exposure and applying quarantine and isolation orders for school-aged children. Please note that schools can use stricter CDC guidance if they choose, but the minimum expectation is outlined in the health measures that are signed in current today. Again, the goals are to keep students in school while minimizing virus spread. In order to accomplish that, the most important policies that schools can enact in order to drastically reduce exposures in school that result in quarantine continue to be to require face coverings that cover both the nose and the mouth, to enforce strict 6-foot social distancing, and to utilize seating charts so that contacts can easily be traced. When a child initially tests positive for COVID-19, there are many elements to contact tracing. The process starts with an interview of the parent, and if the student is old enough to provide reliable information, the student is interviewed as well. The parent and or the student are essential in identifying their contacts both inside and outside of the school, and being forthcoming with this information is key to successful and timely contact tracing. There is a common misunderstanding where the physical premises of the school is assumed to be the only logical point of contact among our younger population. However, students frequently identify their classmates as outside of school unmasked exposures resulting from social gatherings, riding in vehicles together, and other settings. Once the outside of school contacts are identified, public health department staff work with the respective schools to determine school-related contacts. This includes both classroom and extracurricular exposures. And the biggest change with the directed health measures that are before us today is considerations for those exposures and possible ability for schools to allow students back in school even after an exposure. Again, exposures are gauged based upon mask wearing, adherence to social distancing, whether the exposure was outside, inside, or both, and then the estimated length of the exposure. Throughout the process, local health departments remain committed to working closely with school districts in their jurisdictions. We will continue providing guidance on preventing the spread of the virus that can keep students and families safe. This is a responsibility that none of us take lightly. The well-being of Nebraskans is our top priority. It was 1 year ago that I stood in the rotunda and gave a presentation to kick off Public Health Week after the floods of 2019. The message then was, if I'm ever stuck in a disaster as a public health worker, I pray that it happens in Nebraska. Being surrounded by the best public health colleagues is the safest place in the world. They don't strive to be heroes, they just are. It is truly a privilege to stand among the best colleagues. Not only are they Nebraska strong, but they're public health strong as well. Thank you. I'm gonna turn it over to Matt Bloomstead, the Commissioner of Education.
Yeah, and thanks, Gina. And one of the things that also has prepared, I think, a lot of us is those past experiences. And we continue to learn about really what makes a difference in these cases. And I appreciate the partnerships that we do have across the state. I think our school districts, it's not always easy. I mean, I'll just be honest. There's tension that comes in these times. It's hard to be able to pull everyone together, but pulling in the same direction. Well, our real goal is keeping kids in school, as Gina mentioned. It's really important that folks understand what does mitigate the risks of spread of the coronavirus, and that we continue to do that work in partnership. We continue to lay out guidance from the Department of Education, from our health directors, from the state. It's really important that folks understand that there's a personal responsibility that comes with this as well. So when we talk about the important the importance of masking, the importance of social distancing. It's important that we are modeling that in schools. And so I think the new DHM actually allows us to even further model that, exploring that and explaining to folks that the importance of masking as part of the quarantine process, part of the contact tracing process, is absolutely critical. So thanks for all of those particular efforts. Thanks really to our school districts and our parents and our students that are managing this as well. And I think what we're starting to see, and it is a great place to have a crisis, I guess, Nebraska, where we can all work together. I think that's what I heard Gina say in not so many words, but the reality is we are really having to work together to make sure that we can manage this. In the end, back to those personal responsibilities, things the governor just had mentioned too about getting flu shots and other things, that's part of the responsibility and part of the communication that will continue to come through our schools, through our local health departments, through the state. It'll be important that we continue to do that in order to maintain the school environment that we have. And again, I would even thank Z's here. She got so much attention. So Z, I'm going to thank you also for the accommodations project and Angie and the governor. That the reality is finding different ways that we can continue to work together to make sure that we're able to maintain school environments, which helps us overall. So I'm very pleased to be at this moment in time where we're weeks into the school year. We haven't seen too much of spread that is happening within schools. That means our protocols are working. Again, as I said a couple weeks ago, staying the course, keeping those protocols in place, you know, not really letting up on those protocols. We're watching the data. If we see that we have room to do something a little bit better and the data proves that we can, we'll do that. If we see that something's not working as well, we're going to be in there making adjustments as we continue to go. And I would just lastly say, really what happens in our schools, we're finding a routine. And I know it's been really difficult for school leaders and teachers to find the best way to provide educational opportunities, but we're kind of getting there. I'm starting to feel a sense across the state of comfort in what's taking place. And again, people can stick to that, continue to do that, and that's going to be to the benefit of our students. And hopefully, as we continue to go, make it through this school year. We know we're going to have to live with it. I think I've heard the governor say that just more than once or several times over here as at these press events. But the reality is that's very true. We're going to keep pressing forward and keep making that progress and committed to making this work for our school year and for our kids. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner Bloomstead. So I think the way Gina said it was a little bit better. If I could just, like, I'm not looking to have a crisis in Nebraska, just so you know. But, you know, if we have to go through challenging times, this is a great place to do it. I think Gina said it better. So thank you, Gina. And again, I, Commissioner, safe to say, successful opening to the school year, right? So, yeah, so I think you're right. The steps schools have taken have worked, and it has been a successful opening of the school year. And Gina, if I can just briefly highlights kind of the high level change in the DHM. It essentially says if the child who is positive is masked and the other children they're around is masked, then those other children don't have to quarantine, they have to self-monitor. And what that difference is they get, if as long as they're wearing masks, they can go back into the classroom. That's fundamentally correct, right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, and the difference would be that if either party is unmasked, then they are going to have to quarantine. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's fair. So I got it right. So again, folks, that's kind of what we're doing is giving some more flexibility for schools to be able to keep the kids in the classroom. Again, the big caveat here is wearing masks. So thank you very much, Gina. Appreciate you being here. And